Okay, thank you very much. Good afternoon. Let me start my talk by thanking the organizers for giving me this opportunity. Following Matsuda-sensei's talk, I will talk also the Kitai of spin liquid physics, but mostly concentrating on our theoretical understanding, recent understanding of the fractional excitations, especially under magnetic field. This is the content of my talk. There are three topics I'd like to talk. And the one is the signature of fractional excitations in the magnetic field, especially at finite temperature. And the second one is real-time dynamics of fractional excitations by field quench. And finally, I will make some comments on the how to materialize the Kitai model with anti-ferromagnetic Kitai interaction. Let me start from the basics of the Kitai model and fractional excitations, but we already have Matsuda-sensei gave us a very nice introduction about this, so I will skip the many details. But anyway, this is again the Kitai model. So we have this kind of bond-dependent Ising type interactions. So here we have very strong frustration. But the Kitai showed that this model is exactly solvable, and the ground state is an exact quantum spin liquid. And he introduced this kind of myelinization of spins. And then we end up with the fractionalization of spins in this system. And finally, we end up with two different types of fractional excitations. One is the itinerant myelinized fermions, and the other is the localized Z2 fluxes. And the important point is that these two excitations have very different energy scales. So the itinerant myelinized fermions are mobile, and they have this kind of Dirac-like dispersion. And the bandwidth is very large. This is basically set by the bare Kitaev interaction energy scale, J. On the other hand, the energy scale with localized flux excitation is very, very small. It is, of course, localized, so flat band. And it is gapped. And the gap energy is very small compared to this bandwidth. It is less than 0.1 J. So these very different energy scales directly affect many observable thermodynamic quantities and spin dynamics. For example, this is our quantum Monte Carlo simulation data for the specific heat obtained in 5 years before. And you can see two peaks in different, very different temperature because of this two different energy scales. And one is this high temperature TH, and this is set by Fermi degeneracy of the itinerant myelinized fermions. And the low temperature peak appears this at TL, and this is set by freezing of Z2 fluxes. And this is basically in the order of J, and this is in the order of 0.01 J. So there is a very big difference. And so these two temperatures define the three different temperature regions. One is this high temperature conventional paramagnetic region, and below this TH, fractionalization sets in. So this paramagnetic state is unconventional compared to this conventional state. And we call this region fractional paramagnet. And below this TL, local fluxes are frozen. So basically, this is asymptotic quantum spin liquid state, asymptotic to the ground state. So below this temperature, we can see many signatures of the myelinized excitations. For example, if you look at the spin dynamics in the dynamical spin structure factor, this is, again, our continuous-time quantum Monte Carlo simulation data obtained in 2 or 3 years before. So this is high temperature data, and these two are for the intermediate temperature range in the fractional paramagnetic region, and this is low temperature data. And you can see that in this fractional paramagnetic region, we have a high energy continuum around the omega equals J. So this is related with the large bandwidth myelinized fermion excitations. And approaching to this TL, we see this strong quasi-elastic response in addition to this continuum. And this is related with Z2 flux excitation. And it is frozen and it is gapped below this TL. So this is a signature of the myelinized, or two types of fractional excitations in the spin dynamics. And actually, this was seen in experiment. This panel shows the first experiment for the ruthenium trichloride by Oakridge group, and they found a continuum at high energy, and it persists up to, let's say, 70 or 80 Kelvin. And also, this was already shown in the previous talk, but anyway, we compared our QMC data and the Korean group's inelastic neutron data for single crystal, and we see in very wide temperature range and all Q and omega dependence, we see a very good agreement between theory and the experiment. So we believe that this is a kind of strong signature of fractional excitations. So I showed the one example, dynamical spin structure factor, but we compared many thermodynamic quantities of spin dynamics already. And so we have seen many signatures of the fractional excitations in the key type system. And there are, to some extent, good agreement between theory and experiment, at least at zero magnetic field. But as we have seen in the previous talk, recently many interesting aspects have been found in an applied magnetic field. For example, the half quantization of the thermal conductivity in the previous talk. So the question here is what happens to the key-type quantum spin liquid and fractional excitations in an applied magnetic field? This is a very important question for understanding of the interesting experiments. But this is a very theoretically challenging problem because the exact solvability is lost in the field. So what is known about the effect of field? So this was already shown in the previous talk. But the Kitab showed that by using perturbation theory in terms of magnetic field, he showed that the magnetic field gap out this semi-metallic Dirac dispersion, and the system becomes a churn insulator in terms of Majorana fermions. And we may see the Kyra Majorana edge mode. But this is just a perturbation theory. So much less is known beyond the perturbation theory. Of course, there are many already numerical works for the effect of magnetic field beyond the perturbation theory. But most of them are focused on the ground state. Much less is known about finite temperature. But by the way, if we go beyond the perturbation theory, then we see a very interesting difference between the ferromagnetic QTF case and anti-ferromagnetic QTF case. And these panels show that results. Blue lines show the ferromagnetic case, and green lines show the anti-ferromagnetic case. So you can see that in the ferromagnetic case, there is a single phase transition from the low field quantum spin liquid state to the fourth ferromagnetic state in high field. But in anti-ferromagnetic case, the critical field, critical field values are very large compared to ferromagnetic case. And also we see the two transitions in the anti-ferromagnetic case. That means that there is an intermediate phase. And these works showed that maybe this intermediate phase could be another quantum spin liquid state in the anti-ferromagnetic case. But anyway, again, as I said, much less is known about the finite temperature behavior for this field in the presence of field. So at least schematically, we can draw this kind of anticipated phase diagram for the ferromagnetic case and the anti-ferromagnetic case. For example, in the ferromagnetic case, this is temperature, this is magnetic field, and this is non-key type interaction like Heisenberg or gamma down. Then, as I mentioned, in zero field state, we have two different temperature scales. And intermediate temperature range, we have a fractional paramagnetic behavior. And in the field, there is a phase transition from quantum spin liquid state to fourth ferromagnetic state. And in reality, we have a non-key type interaction that induces the magnetic order. And maybe the candidate materials like alpha-routine trichloride is around here, because it shows a long range order at low temperature. And in that anti-ferromagnetic case, there is a quantitative difference in this intermediate quantum spin liquid state in the field. But anyway, this is just a schematic phase diagram. So the question is how these phase diagrams really look like. So we need to elaborate this phase diagram by using some, for example, numerical technique or something. So we start with the pure QTF case on this blue plane as a first step for this difficult problem. So to tackle with this problem, Okay. Actually, before we developed several different types of numerical techniques for the Kitaev model at finite temperature at zero field based on the Majorana representation. But we cannot apply these techniques to the non-zero field. So here we newly developed a different technique. That is, we call this spin cluster-based CTQMC, continuous time quantum Monte Carlo simulation. I don't have enough time to tell you the details of this technique, but anyway, we don't use Majorana representation here. We use the original spin representation here. And in the non-zero field, we encounter with a negative sign problem, but we use several tricks to suppress the negative sign as much as possible here. And we, well, as I will show you in the next page, we could go to the low temperature state, much lower than TH. But anyway, in all these techniques, there are two important points. One is all of them are free from biased approximations. And the second point is that we can perform a systematic analysis of finite size effects because we can go up to several hundred sites, or in some cases, we can go up to several thousand sites by using this technique. But anyway, I will show you this, the result obtained by this new technique. Okay, so this is data for the specific heat and magnetization in the 111 field for the ferromagnetic case. This is a temperature dependence of specific heat, and this gray square shows a zero field data obtained by different technique. And these color plots are obtained by the new spin-based cluster CTQMC. So because of the negative sign problem, we couldn't go down below this temperature, but we can see several interesting things.
That's for the field in plane or perpendicular plane?
Perpendicular plane, perpendicular. Yes. Perpendicular. Yeah, but anyway, we can apply in any direction by using this technique. But yeah, I'm sure here 111 perpendicular plane. But anyway, one important feature is that this high temperature peak doesn't see so much by the field. And also in the high field region, we see the low temperature peak shifts to high temperature. So it is more clearly seen in this contour plot as a function of field and temperature. So this is zero field. We have two peaks, TH and TL. So TH doesn't change so much by the field. And actually, this hatched region is an unreachable region because of the negative sign problem. So most important and most interesting region is hidden by the negative sign problem. But anyway, we see that the low temperature peak appears in this high field region. So there is intermediate region like this triangle region. And if you look at the magnetization, then below this low temperature peak, we see the large magnetization. So we believe that this is a fourth ferromagnetic region. So from these data, we think that this is fourth ferro. And this is fractionalized paramagnetic region. So the result is schematically summarized here. So we don't know what happens in this low field, low temperature region, but maybe this zero field fractional paramagnetic region extends to very high region, high field region. And actually, it is very surprising because in the ground state, the critical field is 0.018 or something, but shown by this DMLG study long before. So here, the H is up to 0.15. So that means that the fractional paramagnetic region extends much, much higher field than this critical field in the ground state. So this means that we can see fractional signature even in the very high field region in this system. And we computed the spin dynamics too. This is the SQ omega, dynamical spin structure factor, along this line. I mean, at fixed temperature by changing field. So this is zero field, 0.03, 0.06, and so on. Then you can see that in the upper three panels, these are in this fractional paramagnetic regime. So the spectrum doesn't change so much. So they are incoherent in higher energy region, and there is almost flat inelastic response at low energy. And actually, if we compare this 0.06 data with linear spin wave theory, then they are very different. But with a further increase of field up to 0.15, then you can see that the low energy response acquires some dispersion, and it becomes more clear for higher field. And if we compare this 0.5 data with linear spin wave theory for the same field, then we can see, I mean, they are a little bit similar in this region. So this means that we study from the fractional Majorana picture, but we approach the conventional magnon picture here. So this crossover is a Majorana to magnon crossover. This is a kind of deconfinement to confinement behavior. And to be more quantitative, so we calculated the gap and bandwidth of this lowest energy band from gamma to K point, and we compare this with the linear spin wave prediction. And this dashed line shows the linear spin wave predictions, and you can see that both gap and bandwidth are very different from the linear spin wave predictions in the low field fractional paramagnetic regime, but it quickly approached the linear spin wave values in the fourth ferromagnetic state. This shows a crossover from the fractional regime to the conventional magnon region. And recently, Oak Ridge group made an inelastic neutron sketching for alpha-lutein chucride. Actually, these data showed in the poster over there. But anyway, they have seen the continuum in this quantum spin reticle region and magnon dispersion in this high field region. I believe that we are looking at the same physics in this experiment and our theory. So, of course, we need further comparison between theory and experiment, but this is very interesting. And also, we computed the NMR relaxation rate 1 over T1. And let me show you the first zero field behavior. So this is not NMR, NQR. Then this is 1 over T1, temperature dependence of 1 over T1. Then you can see that below this TH, the 1 over T1 grows. And this shows peak slightly above TL. And it rapidly decreases and exponentially suppressed below TL because of flux, because of the flux gap opening. But anyway, these behaviors are very different from static spin correlation, which I don't show here, but anyway, this is again the dichotomy between the static and dynamic spin correlations. And we computed this in the field. So this is the data. So again, we lack the low temperature data because of negative sign problem, but when we increase the field, then the peak is suppressed. And also the peak height is shifted to higher temperature. But anyway, in this temperature region below TH, we have an enhancement of 1 over T1. And I think this is also the signature of fractionalization. And it is clearly seen in this quantum plot. In this triangular region, we have an enhancement of 1 over T1. And actually, similar behavior was already seen in experiment in NMR measurement. For example, in this group, measured the 1 over T1. Actually, this is a plot of 1 over T1T. But anyway, in the high field region, after the suppression of antiferromagnetic order, 1 over T1 shows this kind of broad peak. And the peak is reduced by field. And the peak height is shifted to higher temperature. And actually, the similar behavior was seen independently by different groups. So we think that at least at the qualitative level, there is a good agreement between theory and experiment, even in the field. Okay, so these are the first topic. And let me switch on to the second topic, very closely related with the first one. But anyway, here we study the real-time dynamics of the fractional excitations. And especially, we focus on the quench of the magnetic field. So here, instead of a serious numerical simulation, we use the Majorana mean field theory. Because for the real-time dynamics, we need more sophisticated numerical technique. We cannot apply directly to CTQMC or something. So we use the Majorana mean field theory based on the Jordan-Wigner transformation. Actually, there are many choices for the mean field theory, but we chose this because this well reproduces the ground state phase diagram in the 001 field. Actually, this mean field theory can be applied only to 001 field. But anyway, it shows a very good agreement between, the result shows a good agreement between with the other method, for example, VMC study, variational Monte Carlo study. But anyway, we can reproduce single phase transition in the ferromagnetic case, and also the double phase transition with intermediate quantum spin decay state for the anti-ferromagnetic type case. So we extended this this theory to the time-dependent mean field theory. And the, basically, we can compute many different types of real-time dynamics. But here, as a first step, we started with the quench of the magnetic field. So this is the result. So for the ferromagnetic case, so we have a single transition between quantum spin liquid and forced ferromagnetic case. Then these panels show the time evolution for the quench from Kitaev quantum spin liquid to zero field. So we switch off the magnetic field suddenly. And this panel shows the quench from the forced ferromagnetic state. And the top panel shows the time dependence of the magnetization. And the next panels show the so-called wavelet scalogram. It is basically a time-dependent Fourier transformation to extract the characteristic frequency at each time. And the lower two panels show the kinetic energy of itinerant Majorana fermions and the kinetic energy of localized Majorana fermions. This is basically these two fractions. And they are actually the physical observables in the sense that they are related with the spin correlation in specific component on specific bond. So anyway, in this quench from forced ferromagnetic case, all these quantities show a very similar time evolution. So this is worrying. So this is basically the conventional spin precession from the ferromagnetic state to zero field. But in this case, a quench from quantum spin liquid, there is something. I mean, for example, in this itinerant Majorana fermion, there is a quick decay of high energy component, and there is an increasing low energy component in the localized Majorana fermions. So there is some distinct dynamics between two types of fractional excitations. I think this is a signature of the fractionalization in real-time evolution. And also, if you look at the Majorana band, then we can see very interesting transient Majorana fermion surfaces by field quench. So at time zero, before quench, we have a semi-metallic point. So there is no fermion surface in the Majorana band. But when we start the time evolution, then the band changes like this. So there is a positive energy dispersion. That means that there is a Fermi surface, even small. So this means that the field quench induces a finite Fermi surface in this system. And we did the same thing to the anti-ferromagnetic case. Actually, in this case, we have two different quantum spin liquid state. So we did two different real-time evolution. One is from the quench from the low-field quantum spin liquid state, and the other is the quench from intermediate quantum spin liquid state. And then you can see that the distinct dynamics are more conspicuous compared to the ferromagnetic case. And also, in this intermediate, a quench from intermediate field quantum spin liquid is very interesting because even in magnetization, we can see clearly the two-stage dynamics in the high energy part and low energy part. And also, if you look at the Majorana band in the in the case of quench from intermediate quantum spin liquid phase, then the transient behavior is more conspicuous. Like this. So the Fermi surface appears in a very large portion, and they change the topology in the time evolution. So in that sense, this is a dynamical version of Lipschitz transition by field quench. I think this is very interesting. And of course, this is a kind of, at this stage, a fantasy. So we need to say something on the experiment. So. Anyway, the time scale of this fractional dynamics is 10 to 100 picoseconds. So I believe that it is possible to capture them in experiments like optical technique, such as Faraday or Carr effect. And also, I believe that this is very useful for identifying fractional excitation and also even distinguishing topological phases, as we have seen for the anti-ferromagnetic case. And also, transient Fermi surfaces will be interesting. Maybe it is very difficult to directly observe them, but we believe that we can capture the that this transient surface by indirectly. I mean, when it induces some film surface instability, like Pyle's instability or some phase transition to Higgs phases, then we can catch them. So anyway, we await for some experimental challenge for this kind of quench real-time dynamics. Okay, finally, by using several minutes, let me mention about how to materialize Kitaev spin liquid. So as Matsuda-sensei already talked in the previous talk, there is a kind of recipe for materializing Kitaev materials, Kitaev interaction. That was proposed by Jacquier and Kariuri in 2009. And basically, there are two requisites. One is the J-effective 1/2 Kramers doublet with a very strong spin orbit entanglement. And the other is a quantum interference between different super exchange passes, which cancels the conventional Heisenberg interaction J. And based on these mechanisms, there are several, not so many, but there are several candidate materials for this Kitaev quantum spin liquid. And actually, I took this table from the review, recent review by Hide Takagi. And you can see that the most of them are iridates. And one is a ruthenium chloride, trichloride. But anyway, the problem is that all these existing candidates are believed to have a ferromagnetic Kitaev interaction based on Jacquier-Kariuri mechanism. But we have seen that the anti-ferromagnetic case can be more interesting under the magnetic field. So the question is how to materialize the anti-ferromagnetic Kitaev interaction. We need to go beyond the Jacquier-Kariuri mechanism. And we have at least proposed two scenarios. So let me show you. The one scenario is to use F electron compounds. So here we proposed the praseodymium 4 plus ions, which can have a gamma 7 J effective 1/2 Kramers doublet in the ground state. And we consider the A2 praseodymium 03 honeycomb compounds in the computer. And we made an initial calculation for the electronic states, and we confirmed this gamma 7 Kramers doublet. And also, we extracted Wannier functions from the maximally local Wannier function analysis and constructed a multi-orbital Hubbard model. And we did the perturbation theory in terms of hopping to estimate the spin coupling. The result is shown here for the lithium case and sodium case as a function of Hund's coupling for several different values of U, because we don't know the actual value of U and Hund's coupling, so we take several ranges. But anyway, you can see that in both cases, in some parameter region, the Kitaev coupling is most dominant. It is largest. And the interesting thing is that the sign of Kitaev K is positive here. That means that they are antiferromagnetic, in sharp contrast to the 4D or 5D compounds. So we believe that by using these four F1 compounds, we can make anti-ferromagnetic Kitaev system. This is one scenario. And the second scenario is to use the polar asymmetry. So here we introduce this kind of asymmetry of the structure in the perpendicular direction of the honeycomb plane. This is, for example, realized on the surface or interface or something. But here we demonstrate the effect of polar symmetry by using this mixed anion compounds in the computer. So we consider here the basically ruthenium trichloride, but we replace one side of anions, chromium, by hydrogen here. So this introduces a very strong polar symmetry on the upside and downside, lower side. Then we found that if we introduce this kind of polar symmetry, then the second requisite in the Jacquier-Kariuri mechanism, I mean, such as that is a quantum interference between two different passes here and here, violated. So the Heisenberg J is not canceled. But at the same time, we have different perturbation process for the Kitaev interaction. And that leads to a very large anti-ferromagnetic Kitaev interaction. This is the result by estimated by the same procedure. by using this, by starting from our initial calculation for this mixed anion compound. And you can see that the kita F is largest. I think the value is rather large, so maybe you don't believe that the. I'm also skeptical, but the, anyway, this is largest and compared to J. So I think, anyway, this perturbation process is correct. So I think this is another scenario to realize the anti-ferromagnetic kita F interaction in materials. And actually, this mixed anion technique is realized already in the transition metal dicalcogenide. Okay, so let me summarize my talk. So we have, I have shown three topics. One is a signature of fractional excitations at finite temperature in non-zero magnetic field. And the second one was real-time dynamics of fractional excitations by magnetic field quench. And in the last part, I have mentioned some two ways to realize anti-ferromagnetic kita F interactions. And finally, let me acknowledge my collaborators and the fundings, and also I'd like to advertise. We have open postdoc positions in this project, kita project, and also the project to topological matters. So if you are interested in, please let me know. And also finally, let me advertise our recent review on the Majorana signatures in kita magnets. It is already uploaded in archive last month, so if you're interested, please download this. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Yukitoshi, for the very nice talk. Questions or comments? Daniel, yeah?
I have a general question about this forced ferromagnetic phase at very high field. In the intermediate field, that's actually when you have this, what we heard about mostly in the previous talk, that's all clear. But in this forced ferromagnetic field, which you considered also, what are the, generally speaking, kind of, what are the differences between just normal, for example, Heisenberg antiferromagnet, which you make forced ferromagnetic, and Kitaev? What would be the difference between Kitaev and ordinary magnetic system in forced ferromagnetic field? In particular, for example, could you calculate Raman scattering? How would it look like in Kitaev system in very strong magnetic field and in ordinary antiferromagnetic in very strong magnetic field?
I thought that there is nothing special even in the Kitaev system if you are in the deep forced ferromagnetic phase. Because, for example, we compare the SQ omega with a linear spin wave, then it looks like a conventional magnon. So
in a sense, actually, this forced ferromagnetic field is more or less the same. It doesn't have any special signature to Kitaev, yeah? Correct?
I believe so. Yeah, of course, the dispersion itself is different from, for example, Heisenberg system, but it behaves like conventional magnets.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, so actually, you showed results as a function of field, but it wasn't clear to me if there was any directional dependence to the field, to the phase behavior, for example, for either the ferromagnetic or antiferromagnetic case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I have shown only the ferromagnetic case here. And so we have calculated anti-ferromagnetic case too, but as I have said, so we cannot go down below this temperature in both cases. In that sense, something special for the anti-ferromagnetic case appears in this region, in low temperature region. Of course, the field range is very different between ferromagnetic case and anti-ferromagnetic case, but we see the very similar thing. Wide fractional region, even for the antiferromagnetic case. There is no qualitative difference in this temperature range.
But I was wondering, if there's any difference between the field in different directions for same system.
That is also interesting. But at this stage, we have tried 111 and the 001. And in this range, we don't see any big difference.
Thank you.
So, I mean, could you just repeat what is so special about antiferromagnetic Kitaev exchange?
Okay. So if you apply the magnetic field in the ferromagnetic case, there is a single transition from the quantum spin liquid state to the forced ferromagnetic state. But in the anti-ferromagnetic case, we have two transitions. And that means that there is an intermediate phase. And many studies have shown that this intermediate phase can be another quantum spin liquid state before entering to the forced ferromagnetic state.
Okay, so I have a question actually about, so you showed 1 over T1 for the H equals 0 on finite fields. I guess I'm not really, what physics do you extract from, I mean, so 1 over T1 has this kind of single peak behavior. What is the physics of that, like, single peak?
Okay, so I think the enhancement itself is from the enhancement of dynamical spin correlation. Static spin correlation stays almost constant in this temperature range, but in the imaginary time direction, spin correlation develops, and that reflects to the 1 over T1. And the suppression itself comes from the D2 flux gap opening. That's why we have single peak.
So your proposal with hydrogen, exactly what you are proposing is to substitute, let's say, chlorine or bromine by hydrogen?
Yes, that's what you're proposing in this case.
Now,
I know that it is very extreme.
It is very extreme. So, in fact, what do
Actually, we have tried many different combinations.
Yeah.
Hydrogen is the largest one, I mean, extreme case. But we have tried, for example, the bromine and chloride. Many combinations, but we have obtained a similar.
If you talk to solid-state chemists, so people that do the synthesis, what do they say? I mean,
okay, yeah, actually, I have talked with the experimental people in Japan. He's one of the professionals of this mixed anion project, and he said that basically it is possible if the people in the transition metal dichocone could do.
So it is possible. So that you could get a substitution.
Yeah, of course, I don't know the hydrogen is possible, but anyway,
she said that they can replace. Maybe the deuterium, but hydrogen is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I have shown the extreme case. Yeah, to demonstrate.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other final questions or comments? Okay. If not, let's thank all the speakers for the session and for the day. So I guess we have a break now, then there's a dinner, right? Yeah, okay.